Lord, we want to be a part of extending your kingdom. We want to be a part of revival. And Lord, thank you for every person here that they are your servants. Lord, prepare them for the greater works that you are yet to do in and through their lives. Lord, the people that are here today, what great things are you going to do through their lives to extend your kingdom? We ask, let it increase. Lord, give them a fresh vision. Lord, speak afresh into their hearts. Maybe things that you want them to do. Lord, speak into their hearts how they can release the gospel, how they can release the work of God. Lord, let us not have a small vision, but let us have a large vision of the great work that is yet to be done for your kingdom. So Lord, do open the eyes of our hearts. Do reveal your glory to us in a greater way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this session, I'm going to be looking at the topic of talking with God face to face. And it's to strengthen and build up our prayer times. It's to give you faith for your prayer times, that they are so special, that you are really going to meet with God in a deeper way when you pray. My scriptures come from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 10 to 11. And this is talking about the life of Moses. Moses is one of my favorite men of God because of his deep walk with God, his intimacy with God. And that's what hearing the voice of God is about. It's being in that place of a deep friendship with God, deep relationship. So Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10 to 11, it says that, "Since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." I've always taken this scripture as a kind of a challenge. Look at how close Moses got to God. Where are the prophets going to arise that know the Lord face to face? Where are the prophets that are going to show God's glory to the nations? So I took it as a challenge. Man, we need to get that close to God. We need to know him face to face. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 to 11, there are some more scriptures that talk about how the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So we've got the example of being in a close friendship, speaking with your friend. That was God and Moses. What did Jesus say to his disciples? "I am your friend." So Jesus wants with us what he had with Moses. Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants you to be in that close walk with God. Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. Talks about how God appeared to Moses and how that Moses even saw the form of the Lord. I presume that's referring to when God put Moses on the mountaintop and put Moses in the cleft of the rock so that God would pass by him in all his glory. And that glory would be so powerful and too strong for Moses that he would have to let God pass by, and then he could look at as God was going, and he could see the form of God. So he had one of the most incredible encounters that a person on this earth has ever had with God. Of course, in heaven, that kind of encounter is just normal. But here on earth, we are still seeking the kingdom of God. And one thing the Bible does say in the book of Revelation, after the final day of judgment, is that those who inherit God's kingdom will see God's face. Now, the Bible talks about at this point of time, nobody can see God's face and live. So when I'm talking about talking with God face to face, I'm really speaking to it about seeing the face of God by faith. Seeing the face of God with the eyes of our heart, with our spiritual understanding. Seeing the face of God. You know, the time will come when we see his literal face. And that will be the most amazing moment. I am looking forward to seeing God's face after I die. I always had the desire to see God's face like Moses before I died. But not many people are given that extreme encounter. But I still believe for it. If by God's grace he grants that greater blessing, greater revelation. How God came to the people of Israel, God can come to the church. If we really seek him with all our hearts in a greater way, what kind of greater manifestations maybe God may want to release on the earth? So I certainly don't limit what God can do. God can do greater things. But I, in one sense, you know, I don't want to die yet. I still feel I've got a lot to do. But I know that when I die, that's going to be like one of the greatest moments ever. Suddenly, I'm going to be able to see the fullness of God. And I suppose in different ways, God is going to reveal his fullness step by step. And the day of judgment will be an incredible time when we are all gathered and stand before him. And we see him pronouncing his full judgments on all mankind. And that's going to really reveal some of the questions that we may have had of why. Why did this happen? We can have many questions now that we don't have the answers for. It doesn't matter if we don't have all the answers. The day will come when we will see God face to face. And that is what I'm looking for. Now, in the time of Moses, there was the Ark of the Covenant within the tent of Moses. And later, this developed into the tabernacle, with three distinct sections, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And the high priest would enter that Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of Israel. But we know that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, shedding his holy blood, he cried out, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. We're told in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And this speaks of how God was opening the way through the blood of Jesus for us to enter his presence, for us to come into that most holy place with God, the Holy of Holies. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And just laying hold of that promise of approaching the throne of God. That's even greater in one sense than seeing the Ark of the Covenant. But the Ark of the Covenant was like the symbolic thing on the earth where God's presence manifested. Back in the days of Moses, when it was still a tent, whenever Moses went into that tent, the cloud that was leading Israel by day and having a cloud of having fire in the cloud at night, that cloud would come over the tent. And the people would see it. They would see the cloud, and then Moses would go into the tent. No wonder Moses came out at times with his face shining. The glory of God, the manifest presence of God that Moses went into. And it just filled him. That's what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think. It's filled with the glory of God. I know the time is going to come when that's released, when we share in the glory of Christ as a part of our heavenly reward. But Jesus even manifested that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Glory just shone through him. So we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. That's full assurance when we pray. And I'm just wanting us to get a greater revelation of this. So when you pray, you just know you're right in there. It's like you're in the Holy of Holies with God. You're in the presence of God. You're coming. You're coming into God's glory. You're coming through that curtain that's been ripped down through the work of Christ. You're coming into that place of intimacy with God. So how powerful it is to pray when you have a revelation that you're entering into this friendship, talking with God face to face. So the eyes of our heart, our spiritual vision, enlightenment. So that was one thing Paul was praying for the Christians, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. So they would have the revelation. So we as Christians, we don't want to be like other people who have no revelation of God. They're praying in the wrong way, maybe praying to idols, praying false things. They have no revelation of God. But when we pray, we have the revelation of God. We're coming into His presence, coming into His holy presence. I want to give a couple of examples of the most powerful times I heard the voice of God speak to me. And most of the time, you know, we're praying, we don't specifically hear something powerfully strong, but even at those times, by faith, we've got to know that we're in God's holy presence and we're trusting Him, we're committing our prayers to Him. So it's by faith we're praying, but these couple of illustrations illustrate when God answered, and it kind of surprised me because I didn't think God was going to answer. And I'm thinking maybe we are like that when we pray. Because we prayed many times before and we didn't hear anything, so we're just doing our routine. But if we get the enlightenment of talking to God face to face, that expectation, there's no limit to what God can do. Who knows how God can answer your prayer when you have approached the throne of grace, sharing your heart with God, sharing your needs. God only has to speak and that can happen. He only has to move His finger and 1,000 angels will come to fulfill your request. So how great is God? So here are these couple of examples. And the first one was at a time when I was actually at Bible college down in Tauranga. And I had a lot of time to pray, especially in the mornings and afternoons. And I really went to Bible college to pray. And there was a couple of prayer rooms on the side of the hill. So when I had free time, I'd like to go into those little prayer rooms. And one occasion, I just felt so happy, felt so joyful, just having a good time talking with God. It sort of felt like, you know, I'd broken through the initial stage of when you pray and then you don't know what to say next and you just want to leave. And I kind of broken through that barrier, and it was just a pleasure to be there and to pray. Now, I then looked down the road. There was a road just a bit further down, and I saw that there was a truck that had broken down. It was on the side of the road, and there was a man who was outside trying to fix his truck to get it going again. And I just said a little prayer to God. I said, God, look at that man fixing his truck. God, what are you going to do to save that man from going to hell? Now, I was an evangelist from quite young, and I was doing a lot of evangelism, and I used to think about hell a lot. And I was a bit of a hellfire and brimstone preacher. So I often didn't get invited to churches because of that, I think. But I had a deep concern for the salvation of lost people. So I just said to God, God, what are you going to do? And I didn't really expect that I would immediately hear an answer. but on this occasion I did. So I was thinking, sometimes we don't have the real expectation of faith that God's going to do something. He's going to speak. So we have to be careful when we pray that we don't limit God, how he can speak to us. God can speak to you when you pray. And this is what God said to me. It was very clear inside my heart, inside my mind, and there was very clear words came to me. And these were the words: I have already sent my son. What are you going to do? That's a nice challenge from God. God, how are you going to feed the poor? God, how are you going to save the world? God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? God, what are you going to do? And what is God saying to his people? I've already given my best. What are you going to do? See, we can't blame God that there's so many poor people who are dying, because us as people, we can do something about it. And God is going to hold us accountable for what we do. You know, unbelievers, they'll so often, even if they don't believe in God, they will blame God for the state of the world. And they will say, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? And God will say to them, why don't you do that? And if you do it, you're doing it to me. But the challenge that God wanted to give to me is, what are you going to do? So it made me realize afresh, Jesus Christ has done all that is needed to have done to provide salvation for mankind. He shed his holy, righteous blood. He gave his life, and that is God giving his very best. The price has been paid by God. And God also did his part by raising Jesus from the dead. So God is God. He is the boss. He is the master. He's the creator. He's not someone that we can command to do something for me and make God my servant. No, God is the master. Again, this can be the attitude of how unbelievers pray. They don't believe in God, but they want God to obey them. So when God doesn't give them what they want, they become bitter towards God. So that's why I like to say to people, God is God, you are not God. God is sovereign. When he speaks, there's no argument about it. I've been having a small debate with a certain person who calls himself a Christian. He's a pastor, but he's completely denying the Bible. He is saying that everyone goes to heaven. There is no hell. Everyone is saved. God loves everyone, therefore everybody will go to heaven. So I am then giving him the words of Jesus, where Jesus talks about the separation of the righteous and the wicked. And all of Jesus' preaching was constantly revealing the choice of people and revealing that many people are choosing to be God's enemies and choosing to be lost. And this pastor, he doesn't want to listen to me whatsoever. He can just reject it. He can find another Bible verse and twist it. And he doesn't. I've tried to plead with him to preach the truth, not to preach error. And he can easily reject me. But on the day of judgment, it's not going to be like that, where we can twist God's arm and say, oh God, you just love everyone, let everyone into heaven. And we will make God's word do what we want. No, God just has to speak, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, the devil and his angels. And you're thrown in there. What are you going to do? You're going to argue with God? No, God, no, God. So when we come to pray with God face to face, we have to see that God is God. He is the master. He is the boss. He's the king. He's the judge. He's the righteous one. He's the holy one. So we can't twist the Bible and to make God almost powerless, make him obey us. No, we come and he's offering us the friendship. We receive the friendship from him, but we have great respect for God. We have great awe. We have great love for God. The majesty, the power of God. You know, when Moses was seeing God face to face, the people of Israel so many times were disobedient. And what happened to those people? Most of them did not make it to the promised land. They had a chance to walk in God's holiness and power, but it's as if they just treated God with... They didn't acknowledge that he's truly God. They were still wanting to do what they wanted to do, not following themselves. So I'm just wanting to... We've got to have that revelation of who God is. If we're approaching his throne of grace, realize how awesome the throne of God in heaven is. How many millions of angels are around the throne of God? How many millions of saints, of believers throughout history who were washed clean by the blood of Jesus? They're before the throne of God. And by faith, we can approach that throne, that very same throne of God, when we pray. We're coming before God's awesome majesty, his holy presence. We're coming to bring our petition, our prayer to God. And it's as if God, I mean, he's unlimited, so he can do this to every person in a split second. But it's as if he ignores everyone else and he brings his ear just to listen to you. And at the throne of God, God just listens to your petition. He listens to your prayer. He listens to your request. See how powerful prayer is? When you come before God, when you see who God is, and you're releasing your prayer to God. Okay, now my second example of when I heard God's voice. This again was in the early days of me doing evangelism work, and I went up to a certain town in the north of New Zealand. The pastor had invited me to stay with him and to work with his church and to do the street evangelism in that town. Went there twice and spent a little bit over a year in that town. And one time I saw this young man coming out of the pub. And of course, going to the pub is not a place where you're going to find God, nor are you expecting to receive the gospel. But I was there, and as he was coming out, I began to witness and share the gospel with him. And over time, we built a very good friendship. He was very open to listen, and he was a very friendly person. And one of the reasons why he had a lot of time to talk was because he was crippled in one leg. When he was young, he was riding his bicycle. And as he was just coming close to his house, he got hit by a car. So his parents heard the accident. They rushed outside. They saw that it was their own son lying on the ground. So they were waiting with him there as the ambulance came. And for the rest of his life, he's been crippled. He can walk slowly, and he can even ride the bicycle. But when he walks, he has to hobble up and down. On one particular day, I had to meet with the pastor because we had planned to have a prayer meeting. I like prayer meetings. I enjoy prayer meetings. That's why I'm giving this message, to encourage you to also enjoy prayer meetings, because when you pray, you're coming to God face to face. So I've always tried to attend prayer meetings. Sometimes I like even going to prayer meetings more than going to a Sunday morning service. So anyway, the pastor and I had planned just to have a prayer meeting, the two of us. I forget what issue was happening, but an issue called for some extra prayer. We were praying for revival in that town. We were seeking God. And as I was getting late, I don't like being late, I didn't want to keep the pastor waiting, I was getting late, walking, rushing to the prayer meeting, I saw my crippled friends hobbling up in front of me. And I knew that when I came to him, he would just want to talk. And he was a good talker, and he would just talk more and more and more. And I was thinking, what do I do? He's going to make me late. The pastor's going to be thinking, where is he going? So of course I immediately thought of the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I thought, well, I don't want to be like the priest who just rushed off because he had to do something. So I decided to have, well, I had no choice. So anyway, we had a talk, and as I expected, it was hard to make him stop. So we had a good conversation, and finally, I was free to continue. Looking at my watch, oh no, I'm late. Finally, I got to the prayer meeting, and I was praying with the pastor. And I began to pray for my crippled friends. I was praying for his salvation. Lord, I want you to save this man. Bring him out of darkness into your light. And I could share with him so much, but my sharing, it didn't seem to have any effect on him. It was going in one ear and coming out of the other. So I was praying, Lord, save this man. And I was also praying, God, why don't you heal him? God, why aren't you doing in his life? And as I was praying that, I suddenly heard God's voice. As clear as can be. And I was quite surprised what God spoke into my heart. And God said, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink from my cup? Okay. What does that mean? Anyway, I just went back to praying. And then I sort of thought, oh no, that wasn't God. It was just my own imagination. It wasn't God speaking to me. I don't know why I doubted the voice of God, but I suppose it was because I didn't want to listen properly to the message. You know, doubt is a very strange thing. The Bible talks about after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he appeared to the woman, first of all to Mary Magdalene. When she told the disciples of this, they did not believe. Then later, Jesus appeared to them, and they were frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus questioned them as to why doubts were rising in their minds. He showed them his hands and his feet. Thomas was not with them that day, and he did not believe their reports. And he said that he would not believe unless he could see the nail marks in Christ's hands and touch the Lord's side for himself. So he became known as Doubting Thomas. But a week later, Jesus came to him and granted his request. In fact, it was all the disciples that had doubted. And Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Another very strange thing happened after this, and that was when Jesus told his disciples to go to a certain mountain because he was about to ascend back up to heaven. And the Bible says that they worshipped Jesus, but it also says some of them doubted. And I was thinking, how could that be possible? Even though they were seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ with their very eyes, some of them still doubted. You know, people can see miracles, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to believe the miracle. They can see miracles with their own eyes and still not believe. John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. They didn't see with their physical eyes, but they saw with their spiritual eyes, they saw with their heart, they believed, and they are blessed. But people can see with their eyes evidence for God and still not believe. And that's the devil's work, to blind people. So the blessings of God come through believing what Jesus has done. And Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. So I see that doubt is it's a barrier to hearing God's voice. And doubt is a very strange thing. So I knew that God had spoken to me, but I immediately doubted it. And then I just said, oh no, that wasn't God, it was just me. And I just continued praying with the pastor. But then suddenly the pastor stopped and he said, I have something that I want to share with you. God has just spoken to me, and he opened up the Bible to a particular verse. And it was the story of James and John when they requested the close position to Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. And their mother also made this same request on the behalf of her two sons, James and John. And the mother said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. What a wonderful request to have that very close place to Jesus in heaven. Wouldn't you want to sit at the right and the left? You and your brother, or you and your sister. You just sit at the right and the left of Jesus in heaven. It's very interesting the answer that Jesus gave them. He said, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? That's a very important lesson there. Because so often we are praying for God to do something, but are we really willing to pay the price to have that prayer answered? Are we willing to pay the price to walk intimately with God? You know, I was praying for my friend's salvation. That's a good prayer. But was I willing to go the extra step to really lay down my life to reveal the Lord to him? You know, I just think there are so many nations that need the gospel. Where are the people who are really willing to drink the cup of Christ, to take the gospel to these nations, to our own city? Now, what was the cup that Jesus Christ was talking about that speaks of his own work, his own crucifixion, the price that Jesus himself would have to pay? And Jesus said that indeed James and John would drink from his cup. James was the first to be martyred for Christ. And John went through many hardships for Christ. Yet God gave him great revelation. And Jesus said that it's God the Father who determines who sits on my right and my left. We want to find favor so that our position in heaven is close to Jesus. You know, those who walk close to Jesus on this earth will be close to Jesus in heaven. Now, some can backslide and fall away, and they can even lose their crown, which the Bible warns us about. But I'm meaning those who are faithful and continue to love Jesus and follow him. Follow Jesus closely on this earth, and you will be close to Jesus in heaven. That's wonderful. No time to backslide, no time to fall away from God when you have a revelation of the great inheritance that Christ has for you. I don't want to lose that privilege of being the friend of Jesus. That's why I encourage you, develop, continue to build your walk with God. Don't lose it. Hunger for God, continue, don't give up, no matter what problems come. No matter how the devil tries to attack or steal or rob from you, don't let the devil steal your crown. Make sure you have what Jesus is offering you, that close place to him. But can you drink from his cup? Now again, to do that, we have to approach the throne of grace to receive God's help in our time of need. Jesus himself had to do that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out to his Father, and there was an angel there, and the angel strengthened him. So when you also go through maybe a time of Gethsemane, a time of darkness, cry out to God, and there will be an angel there to strengthen you. You don't have to see it. God does and has promised that his angels are there to fight on behalf of those who inherit salvation and to minister to them. The angels ministered to Christ. The angels ministered to us in various ways through our prayers. So after the pastor opened up his Bible and shared this very same message or same Bible verse that God had spoken into my heart that I had doubted, well, that 100% confirmed it to me. I knew 100% that that was God who had spoken to me. You know, it's as if God made it very clear. God confirmed it. He spoke it to me, I doubted it, so God spoke it to the pastor. The pastor then spoke it back to me, and then I had to repent. God, forgive me for doubting your word. It's wonderful when God confirms it, and as Michael had mentioned earlier about that confirming. So God can speak like that, you know, even when we're busy, even when we're doing something insignificant, God can speak to us. So we just have that desire to learn from him. Psalm 145, verses 18 to 20. It says that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. That's another promise that I stand on when I pray. You know, I might not be feeling close to God like I am right now, because I'm filled with joy preaching God's word, and we had the good songs, and it was like God's presence was with us, and we're in the presence of God right now. And again, I'm happy to be in the presence of Jesus. But we don't maintain that all the time. The times when we're grumpy, times when we're depressed, there's times when we say wrong words. There's times when we're convicted of our sin and we feel down in the doldrums, down in the dumps. We feel not so good. And it's those times there when I stand on this kind of promise. The Lord is near to all who call on him. So in the time where I don't feel close to God whatsoever, I stand on this promise, I'm going to call on God and he will be near to me. I don't feel it. I don't feel good. I feel I'm a sinner. I'm failing God. But when I call upon him, he will be near to me. And it says that he is near to all who call on him in truth. And I keep this promise so that I can come back into that Holy of Holies. Come back to praying to God face to face. Come back to seeing the glory of Jesus. Come back to, when I pray, knowing how close God is with me. And there are so many promises of this, like Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Jesus is with us right now. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, we see that Jesus Christ holds the seven stars in his hand and walks among the seven lampstands. It symbolizes the angels and the churches. And it's Jesus Christ walking among the churches. And Jesus knows everything. He knows what's going on. And it's getting the revelation of God seeing you. It's getting the revelation of God listening to you. It strengthens your prayer. It strengthens your faith. It builds you up. James chapter 4, 8, the promise of God that when you come near to God, he comes near to you. As you draw near to God, he's drawing near to you. God is coming closer to you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's God speaking to you. And then this is our response. The response, it says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So I just stand on that promise again many times. The Lord is my helper. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this is a specific promise for those who are making disciples. Jesus is with us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a great teaching there from the Apostle Paul on prayer and being in God's presence and bringing your prayers and requests to God, because the Lord is near to you. The Lord is near when we seek him, when we pray to him. The Lord is near, just having that revelation. Just coming to the end of this message. And I was thinking, if there's times when God is saying no to our prayers, or it seems he's not answering our prayers, we need to ask God why. And sometimes we can hear Jesus say to us, my grace is sufficient for you today. My grace is with you. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. You're going to come through and be stronger in your walk with God. This problem's not going to defeat you. It's going to make you more like Jesus, and you're going to be a powerful servant of God. My grace is there for you. My voice is speaking to you. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are called by my name. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is the confidence that we have in our relationship with God, in our walk with Jesus, as a friend of God. And Moses, the friend of God, praying, talking to God face to face, seeing God's glory. That's what encourages me when I pray. When I pray, even if I don't hear an answer, the Lord is near to me when I call upon him. Let's pray. I thank you, Jesus, for this seminar that we've had today on hearing the voice of God. And I thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us and your mighty hand is upon each person's life here. And Lord, you're just encouraging them to be filled with your wisdom, to be filled with just the greater openness to how you speak to us. Also discernment of what is of you and what is not of you. Lord, you're giving us that discernment so that we can follow you. I just thank you, Jesus, that you have called us to be your sheep. Because you've promised that your sheep hear your voice. And Lord, you know them and they follow me, you said, Lord God. And I just thank you, Jesus, for every person here, that they are your sheep, listening to your voice. And you know them. You know each person here. And they are following you. We are following you, Lord Jesus, because we love you, Lord. Lord, just let this week be a special week. Let visions and dreams just flow, continue to flow this week. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit this week. Let us see the hand of God this week. Let us have amazing prayer times and just let that continue. Lord, when each person has their own moment, devotional moment, let them see that open heaven. Let them see that they are coming into that holy place. Let them see that they are coming into the Holy of Holies. And that, Lord, you are near to them. Let this message become like a living revelation into their hearts. Lord, they are so close to you. You are so close to us when we pray to you. So, Lord, bless every person here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.